We're going to keep up with the local conversation and discuss things here on the City of North Platte level as we have Councilman Ty Lukash joining us in the studio along with our Mayor Brandon Kelleher. Gentlemen, we appreciate you taking some time for us this morning.
Thanks for having us.
Yep, good morning.
Yep, glad you're here.
Now, Brandon reached out to me. I think last week we exchanged some emails back and forth. You wanted to come in to talk about Bill of Rights Day, Brandon.
That's right. Today is Bill of Rights Day, everyone.
Oh.
It's celebrated on December 15th, although the Bill of Rights was actually ratified on December 5th, 1791. For those of you that may not recall this from civics class, the Bill of Rights basically makes up the first 10 amendments of the U.S. Constitution. And they had to be ratified by three-quarters of the states, you know, way back in 1791. The process actually started in 1798. There were originally 12 amendments proposed, and actually 10 were ratified. Two were tossed out.
Good reminder for a lot of folks.
Yeah, exactly.
Need
so
that update.
Teachers, quiz your kids today. See if they know this stuff.
Absolutely.
Well, and the Bill of Rights basically lays out a lot of individual rights, kind of limits the power of the federal government, if I recall right. Is that?
It does. It does. The ones that we hear the most about, of course, are the First Amendment, which is a freedom of speech, freedom of religion, or freedom to establish religions. Generally speaking, those are the things you hear. And then, of course, the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms. Third Amendment is prevents the government from stationing soldiers in homes in non-times of war. And the British government did that around the time of colonization in order to prevent uprisings. And so that's one of the reasons that amendment is in place. And, and then you're right, many of the other amendments have to do with let's call them civil liberties around crime and things like that.
Yep, right to fair trial and jury of the peers and due process.
Right.
And the freedom of the press is in there someplace.
Right.
I think First Amendment.
Yeah, First Amendment, freedom of the press. I failed to mention that one.
That's
right.
Okay.
It's kind of a bad thing to do here.
It's a very important one to George and I, but...
We'll bring it up. We'll bring it up.
Right. If you want to take a quick look at them, there's lots of videos for education out there if you just do a Bill of Rights Day search on Google or whatever your favorite search engine is. But if you want to go right to it, do a Bill of Rights Institute, and it takes you right to a listing of the Bill of Rights and exactly what they are, and they do a nice little job of explaining the significance of them and how they've been treated in court cases for the past 200 and some years.
Awesome.
Yeah, they're epic, I would say.
Yes.
Yeah, to say the least.
The consequences have been epic of that.
Yes.
That piece of legislation, more or less the piece of legislation. And in today's world, there's a lot of fighting going on in legislation to get anything passed, and I think that was a little bit true then, but so three-quarters of the states had to ratify it, and that's quite a push. That's quite a majority show of power there, and show of unanimity and consensus. So I think that's worth remembering in these days, don't you?
Yes. Yes, it is. It is. It takes quite a bit to adjust the Constitution, thank goodness.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and the founders knew, they made it difficult because they knew it was important.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew that we humans tend to knee-jerk once in a while, and that's not a good thing to do. Which kind of leads me to my next point, I think, that I wanted to bring up in celebration of Bill of Rights Day, is that, you know, democracy is a I call it a participatory sport. It's not something that you should just sit back and do nothing with. And to really participate in democracy, I would suggest a couple things. One of them is educating yourself. You need to know what's going on. And it's one of the reasons, you know, Ty agreed to hang out with us a little bit today is because you guys often talk about what's coming up on the city council agenda, and that constitutes some education of the community. And the city, the people in the city need to go out and consider these issues as we described, and they need to let their council people know where they stand on them, because otherwise the council is sort of having to make a judgment about where they think the people that elected them stand.
Mm-hmm.
And we all exist somewhat in kind of our own little bubbles. And unless the people who don't exist in our little bubble reach out and tell us what they think, we're left to our own bubble to decide.
Yeah.
So I encourage the citizenry to do that. And Ty, what's the first thing we're going to talk about today on there?
Well, you mean on the agenda?
On the agenda, yeah.
Well, we've got some big stuff tonight. And, you know, I just want to echo that I still believe in that beautiful balance of government in our country, in our city, in our state. Occasionally, you get out of whack a little balance one way or the other, and then our country just always seems to come back to the middle. And so I just still believe in that wonderful structure. And you're going to see it tonight at the council meeting. You know, first of all, what I'm excited about, we're off to a great start. You know, I'm a numbers guy. I'm a financial guy. So I always pull the treasurer's report first.
Oh.
You don't want to lose sight. You know, the numbers tell you, they give you an indication of other things.
And that's what I love about having Councilman Lukash on, because I see numbers. numbers and I run for the hills. Ty sees numbers and he runs straight for the calculator.
Oh, yeah, it's great. Numbers are great. Anyway, the good thing is revenues are up and expenses are down for the first month of the year. So pretend you've got your monthly household budget and your first week's paycheck is a little bigger than you thought and you spent a little less money than you thought. That's where the city's at after month one. So
I love the analogy.
That's a good situation.
It is, because it just, you know, it's always great to get up to a good start. You know, tonight we've got a couple big quality growth fund requests, both pretty sizable requests. There's a forgivable loan request from credit management, and then the one I'm particularly excited about is the shot in the arm part three. Shot in the arm, which practically helped re-engage an almost dead home building industry in this town, and North Platte is known across the state for the success of that program. The funny thing about that program is how simple it is and very, very logical. So that's tonight. And then I think probably the big one is discussion about what to do with the memo of understanding that the city has with West Central District Health Department.
That seems to be the hot topic as far as the public's concerned, from my impression anyway, at the newspaper. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. And the Quality Growth Fund allocations, too, are attracting a lot of interest. The shot in the arm, can you describe that a little bit? We've been through a couple phases already, and there's a third phase coming. So how's that going to work?
Well, I'll share just a very brief history with you guys. I was fortunate enough to have a seat at the table on the chamber board when this was originally enacted. There was a point in North Platte where nobody was building what we call a spec house. A spec house means that you're going to build a house hoping somebody will buy it. Or rent it, but ideally buy it. That industry was dead. You went through the 07-08, 09 time period, the Great Recession, and that industry just had almost dried up because the financial dynamics of building a spec house just didn't make sense for builders. So we're all sitting at the table and we're talking about how do we fix this, and I was complaining a little bit about, because I've built a house, my wife and I built a house about 8 or 9 years ago, how much you pay in sales tax. And if you look at what you pay in sales tax, payroll tax and all that to build a house, and then when you're done, you're going to pay 2% a year on the value of that house. And so the creation of housing has a lot of taxes. And so we said, well, what if we gave them their sales tax back? Because if they're building homes and that's growing our quality growth fund, what happens if we figured out how much sales tax they were actually generating for a new spec home and gave it back to those builders? And we thought, oh, that's kind of an interesting idea. So then we invited builders to come into the chamber and we said, well, why don't you guys build houses anymore? Is there anything we can do to help? And you know, you're expecting this big complex idea or formula. Their feedback was, well, gosh, if you guys could give us just a little bit of money, we can make this work.
And we said, a little bit of help.
A little bit of help. And we said, well, what's a little bit of help? Oh, if you guys could give us $5,000 to $10,000, that will move the needle on our ability to hold the house long enough to sell it for a fair price where we can make a little profit, or at least get ahead of break even. And so it's a classic lesson in when you've got political ideas, go talk to the people that are doing it and get their opinion, because oftentimes the answer is more simple than you think.
Work together.
Yep, work together. So the builders told us, if you could give us just a little bit of help. And so then we thought about it. We said, okay, we're growing sales tax revenue, which fills the bucket of the Quality Growth Fund. Why don't we give them that little bit back and let's get this home building thing kicked off again? And it worked. And we've been known across the state for being innovative. Well, I don't know if it was that innovative to just ask our builders what they needed to make it work, but it's been a great program. And I'm excited about round three because, again, the idea is $1 million pot of money, of which $250,000 is Quality Growth Funds. They'd be seeking $500,000 from the state fund for workforce housing, and Chamber always putting their money where their mouth is, putting $250,000 in private contributions up with it as well. And the neat thing about this is it would follow Shot in the Arm 1 and 2, which helps single family and multifamily housing, but it also has a special component for downtown Canteen District housing, and it also has a special component for a rehab of a 60-year and older home. So I'm very excited because the Chamber just keeps evolving this forward, and the energy around it is big. So I'm looking forward to that discussion tonight.
That sounds good. There's more emphasis on rehabbing houses and working something to make downtown more habitable, I guess. Yeah.
Well, and there's a couple of good reasons why. Don't ever forget the importance with rehab is your infrastructure is already in place, and we're running out of lots in North Platte. Mm-hmm. So rehab's going to become a bigger issue because we did have lots that we could build on in North Platte. Those are pretty much dried up now. So now rehab's going to become a much bigger component of housing because the infrastructure is already in place.
Sounds great. Sounds like a step in the right direction. So that's on the agenda. It's fairly early in the meeting. And then
public hearing on that, too, I believe?
I'm trying to remember if that's a public hearing. I think it's an agenda item, yeah, and then the mayor can make a determination on public input, correct?
And
that's
correct,
yeah.
Gary from the chamber will be giving the presentation to the council and to the public at that point, too.
He will, yes. Okay. Yes, or at least he normally does.
Yep.
And then we're going to move on to the interesting possibility of renegotiating the agreement with the Central Health District on making decisions regarding public health.
Now, before we dive into that, we do need to take a quick break. Gentlemen, okay. Do you have a few minutes to hang out with us?
Certainly. Yep.
Awesome. Okay,
good.
We'll continue that conversation here with the City of North Platte, including Mayor Kelleher and Councilman Lucas, right after this on KODY.
Time to check your local news. Here is Tristan Winder.
Nebraska received its inaugural shipment of the new coronavirus vaccine on Monday. And the state expects to get more than 100,000 doses this month to treat frontline healthcare workers. The state's distribution plan calls for the first vaccine doses to go to frontline healthcare workers and other key professions, including meatpacking workers and teachers. The vaccine likely won't be available to the general public until at least April. Nebraska officials split its Electoral College votes for the second time in history this week, awarding one of its 5 votes to Joe Biden and the remaining 4 to Donald Trump. Nebraska Attorney General Doug Peterson has assisted in leading a bipartisan coalition of 28 additional attorney generals, urging the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services to hold accountable drug manufacturers that are unlawfully refusing to provide discounts to federally qualified health centers, hospitals, and other providers that serve vulnerable patient populations through the 340 program. Joining the state of Nebraska and Attorney General Doug Peterson were 28 other states, including our neighbors in Kansas, Colorado, Iowa, and South Dakota. Lastly, the majority of schools throughout the listening area have scheduled 10 a.m. late starts for this morning. Find the full list on our website, huskerradio.com.
Here's your forecast on News Talk 1240 AM and 106.1 FM. A winter weather advisory is in effect for the forecast area. We'll see a few scattered snow showers here early today with about an inch possible to accumulate. Cloudy sky conditions, a high in the upper 20s. Winds out of the northwest around 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy skies develop and a low near 12. Wednesday, mostly sunny, high of 42. Weather is brought to you by North Platte Airport with daily jet service to Denver and beyond. Book at united.com.
Husker Radio Sports.
With a look at your Husker Radio Sports, I'm Tanner Struckman. Earlier this week, Nebraska football found out they'll travel to New Jersey to face Rutgers this Friday for their Week 9 crossover game and the last game of the season, unless they're able to qualify for a bowl game. Nebraska coach and players spoke to the media yesterday getting ready for the Scarlet Knights. Scott Frost saying that progress is there and progress matters, but the results have to come. One update was on Adrian Martinez. Frost said that he missed a day of practice last week leading up to the Minnesota game due to his shoulder. He also spoke about Noah Vedral, the former Nebraska quarterback, who is now the starting quarterback at Rutgers. Nebraska is also getting ready for the early college football signing period, which is set to be tomorrow. The Nebraska women's basketball team was led by Sam Hybe last week, and that got her on the Big Ten Women's Basketball Weekly Honor Roll. The 5'9 junior led the Huskers to victory in their Big Ten opener against Illinois
by scoring 33 points and grabbing 9 rebounds as her third appearance on the honor roll, drawing a pair of awards from last year. Next up for the women's basketball team, they're next in action this coming Sunday at Indiana. The men next in action at Wisconsin this coming Monday. And finally, high school action today. North Platte Wrestling will have a home duel with Grand Island. St. Pat's is at Ogallala. Those games heard on KODY. Paxton hosts Perkins County, our game of the week on KX104. Sand Hills Valley travels to Maywood Ace Center, and Mullen will host Bridgeport. That's sports. I'm Tanner Struckman.
You work hard to find the right soybean seed for your fields, and you stand by your work. So do we. That's why we put our soybean seed through strenuous testing and provide precise varieties and expert agronomic support for your operation. Ask your authorized retailer or your BASF Agronomic Solutions advisor about Credenz, because credibility isn't just part of our name. It's our commitment. Credenz Soybean Seed. For the experts that understand, credibility is earned. Always read and follow label directions.
Back to the KODY studio for more Mugs in the Morning with Tristan Winder. Only on KODY 1240 AM, 106.1 FM.
Welcome back inside the studio. Glad to be with you here on a fantastic Tuesday morning as snow continues to fall a little bit. But it is December 15th, folks, so you got to be prepared for some of that. We'll continue our local conversation here as we have Mayor Kelleher joining us in the studio and Ward 2 Council Representative Ty Lucas joining us. Gentlemen, thank you again for taking some time for us this morning, and happy Bill of Rights Day to the both of you.
Thank you. Thanks for having us again.
Yep, it's nice to be here.
Now, we were talking about the council agenda before that last commercial break. Specifically, we were talking about the Quality Growth Fund that's on the agenda tonight with the Shot in the Arm initiative, and we were talking about the agreement with the West Central District Health Department. Those are a couple of big items. One item that's not going to catch a lot of attention but caught my eye personally, and I wanted to talk about a little bit, is there's a few appointments on the agenda tonight that you've appointed a couple of local individuals to serve on city boards. The council will need to vote to either approve or not approve those appointments. And we talked about this in the campaign cycle, Brandon. This was an item that I felt like is forgotten about. We ask our mayor to do these appointments, and it's extremely important.
It is. It's very important work, and it's something that's not always that easy. I mean, you don't just sort of randomly point to someone in the phone book and then call them and say, hey, would you like to do X, Y, Z? And I think every mayor wants the people that help with the committees that represent the city. They want the best people. They want the most qualified people. They want people who know what they're doing to be helping us make decisions. And that's really the challenging part, is you have to think, well, there are certain people that are moving on for whatever reason. Their time is done. Their term is limited or something like that. And you've got to find somebody that has got the right experience and the right thought process. Well, not the right thought processes, but thought processes around
passion.
What needs to happen. And the passion, yeah. And so this why I called Greg Wilkie the other day and asked him if he would be on the Board of Adjustments, because Greg has spent many, many years on the Planning Commission, and so he has a pretty good sense of how property works, not only from his career, but also just from being on the Planning Commission.
And Ty, you served with Greg on that Planning Commission. Can you tell us about your working relationship with Greg as Planning Commissioners?
Yeah, you know, despite our careers of competing against each other a little bit in business, I have a high regard for Greg, and he was a fantastic Planning Commission member, because, like Brandon said, he's got a lot of knowledge in this area, and he's got a very good natural ability to think about complex things and find and think about what a good middle solution is on them. So no,
that common ground.
Yep. So no, I really enjoyed working with him on the Planning Commission.
And speaking of the Planning Commission, we'll have a new Planning Commissioner more than likely in the new calendar year as well, Brandon.
That's right. David Fudge, who's the Executive Director of Nebraska Land Days, is going to join the Planning Commission. The Planning Commission always tries to have one person that represents those that live in that 2-mile limit around the city of North Platte. And Dave happens to live in that limit. And so the gentleman that's currently representing that area is moving on. So Dave said he would be willing to do it and was looking forward to it. And I don't think Dave will have any conflict of interest given his position with Nebraska Land Days, but I'm sure if he did, he would recuse himself accordingly. So,
sure. So
I look forward to his input.
And you can always abstain from votes, as you have, Councilman Lucas. You've abstained from voting before.
Yeah, occasionally I'll run into something because of my career. And, there's 8 of us on the council. So if one guy sits out, you still have seven, and that's quite a few people to make a good decision. You know, I served with David on the Quality Growth Fund Review Committee many years ago, so he has been in an appointed position before when he lived in city limits, and he was a sensational member of that particular committee. And I do hear from constituents periodically, well, gosh, if we're in that 2-mile radius, the city has control on us for zoning, those types of things, but we don't have representation. And so I had just learned not too long ago, I guess a couple years ago, that there has always been representation on the North Platte Planning Commission. So it's important for people to know that even though they can't run for city council or for mayor, that they are on the Planning Commission, which obviously serves a very important role in this whole process.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely it does. Yep. Absolutely it does. Anything else that you guys wanted to talk about that's on this agenda specifically?
Well, one thing I think we just kind of talked briefly about earlier was this West Central Health discussion. Uh-huh. And it's an important discussion for our community. And I think that it would be a good, given that it's Bill of Rights Day, it would be a good example in democracy if folks would tune in, get their kids in and watch the proceedings of the council meeting tonight. It's on YouTube. You can go to the city website, click and launch it. You can watch it on your phone or on your TV, depending on your situation. Unfortunately, due to COVID restrictions, we can't have the room filled with people.
Sure.
So, you know, take your time and watch it on YouTube. And what you're going to see is the executive branch of government, which is me and my office, and interacting with the legislative branch, which is the council. And as I have said, when I was running, about a third of the people I talked to brought this issue up. They felt that the council didn't act appropriately, for lack of a better term. That's their opinion. You know, everyone has an opinion.
Sure.
But they felt that the council could have done something different in the initial decision. And Ty's not glaring at me, so I haven't irritated him yet. So
I voted no on the original on the original deal.
It was a split vote. It was a narrow margin.
It was very
much. Yeah.
Anyway, the point is that this is democracy in action. This is how it should happen. The citizenry brings a topic to the elected official. The elected official turns around, brings it before the legislature. This could have happened by the people reaching out to the city council members as well. It just happens that I'm bringing this up. And I want everybody to remember, the reason I'm bringing this up is because I said I would do it. And so many times, people will say that officials will say they're going to do X, Y, and Z, and then they don't do any of it. Well,
the campaign promises.
Exactly. Here's an example. I said I would do it, and now I'm bringing it up. Now, it's not up to me what the council decides to do. That's up to the council.
Yeah.
I brought it up. I want everybody to remember that this is about the contract tonight. This isn't a referendum on anything else. This is about the contract tonight. So if you come and you attend and we recognize you to speak, you know, please remember that we're going to ask you to focus your comments about the contract with West Central, between the city and West Central. That will be the discussion tonight.
You know, the only thing I'd like to add is that back in April when this decision was made, it was a very interesting time. You have to put yourself back to that point in time. And, you know, I think the city council, even though I voted against the measure at that time, I still respect the decision of that body at the time, which it was a step taken out of wanting the best for the health of the citizens of North Platte. And when you get into really complex issues like this, one thing that I've learned is the ultimate right decision takes steps. That was the first step. And I think tonight we're going to talk about the next step now that we've had time. And, you know, I want to commend both West Central Health District and Great Plains Health in particular for the job they've played in protecting the health of this community. I mean, North Platte is in one of the most resilient pockets of the country, and the efforts of all of them have played a role in that. But we've got to keep migrating this decision to ultimately get what is best for all parties involved and make the right decision as a council. And so I'm excited to see this issue progress, because we've got to bring it together to the top of the mountain here.
And I'm going to come out and say it. We know a lot more about COVID-19 today than we did when this contract was entered into between the City of North Platte and the West Central District Health Department.
Yeah, there is no question about that, and I agree wholeheartedly with everything Ty just said. again, back to Bill of Rights Day for a second, not to change the subject, but remember that preserving our freedom in America is about educating those that are younger than us on what the freedoms are and how you protect them. And again, while we're going to have a discussion that may or may not be a little challenging tonight and may cause some emotion in some people, what we're ultimately doing is we are exercising the democratic process. We are exercising representative government, and that's a great thing. Wherever the decision goes, we should celebrate the fact that we're doing that, especially on Bill of Rights Day.
Yep, absolutely.
Well and said.
We have some great elected officials that have respect for each other. So even if there's disagreements, there's going to be mutual respect, I would imagine.
You know, I don't think any company, government, or family in the world has figured out how to do a better job of making tough decisions than the original American Constitution does. And again, tonight I think you're going to see a continuation of that in action. And it does. It's funny when you leave those council meetings, sometimes you are reminded how proud you are to be part of a country that was so beautifully orchestrated.
How proud you are to be an American and a member of the City of North Platte's government.
No question.
Gentlemen, anything else you'd like to add this morning?
It'll be interesting to watch. Like you encouraged, Mr. Mayor, you encourage people to tune in. What time the meeting starts? I think it's 5:30. Is that correct?
Meeting starts at 5:30.
Okay. And I think they can search YouTube for City of North Platte City Council or something like that, and it'll probably pop it up, too.
They can.
Pretty simple.
Yeah, it is. I've done this a few times over the past month, and I'll tell you that the best solution in my mind is you go to the City of North Platte website, click on City Council, and then go to videos,
and you can
go right to it and
there
starts right up. So.
And again, this is live too. I think there's maybe a second of delay, but it's very accurate.
Yep.
There's televised options as well, I believe, right?
That is true. There is a channel on both of the local cable systems that allows you to watch it. I'm sorry, I don't remember exactly what those channel numbers are off the top of my head, but
I can't remember either. I always do YouTube.
They're on the city website as well. I think one of the important things to remember is we did make some minor adjustments to the microphone situation in the council chamber the last. With trying to keep folks appropriately separated.
Mm-hmm.
I know Ty was down there last week or a couple weeks ago.
Lucas had to make a little bit of a trip up to the podium to speak.
I was at the little kids' table, but it was my turn. So
that's okay. It was. I was keeping an eye on you and Pete over there. I wondered if there's going to be some child activities over there from the two of you.
So we extended some microphones down there. I think folks will be able to hear the council members a little better. And then I'm trying to do a better job of reminding people to stand in front of the public microphone when they're talking as well.
Like everybody else at council is trying to meet the challenge of the COVID situation and proper separations and make a safe environment. I think the capacity of the room, I think the council agenda says 16 people or something. So it's fairly limited in there, but everybody gets a seat that needs to be there. And there's an opportunity for a few people at least to come up and say a few words. Is that correct?
That is correct. And actually with the change in the governor's DHMs here just last, I believe it was Saturday, went into effect, we can allow more people into the room. I believe the number is 32 now. We still have to. However, there are some logistical challenges because you still have to separate people. So we really can't have 32 people in the room.
Yeah.
So, but we can have more than 16. And there was quite a bit of discussion yesterday at City Hall about how we're going to arrange the chairs so that we can so that as many people who can reasonably come in. But we do have a provision if somebody wants to speak. Renee and some of the other city employees work to organize people out in the hallway, and then she lets them come in. They can say their piece, and then they have to exit after that.
Yeah, so. It's interesting to see how the city meets that challenge, too, in addition to the agenda items on the council. So look forward to an interesting meeting tonight.
Yep, it's going to be interesting, and it's going to be democracy in action, so not going to be as exciting as a Husker win, but, boy, get out there and watch and educate your children.
It'll be close.
Yes, that's right.
It'll be close, though. And, Ty, you passed along an interesting quote with me this morning. You've shared it with our listeners before, but your grandfather had an interesting quote in terms to local government.
Yeah, I share this with people all the time because I love it, and I remember my grandfather telling me, this is my grandpa Claude, that owned Swan's Furniture from, I want to say, the late 50s. My mom will probably correct me on the history here, but let's say the mid-50s, up until my parents bought it for them in the 90s. But anyway, he always said that you can pay attention to what goes on in Washington, D.C., or even what goes on at the unicameral Lincoln, but at the end of the day, the two things that affect your business and your family the most are the weather and your local government.
Uh-huh.
And you know what? Think about it. Think about it a little bit all morning, and next time I see you running handy, you'll probably say, geez, you're right.
Ty's going to work on putting those on bumper stickers for us.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's got to be some way to make a buck out of this idea, isn't there? No.
I like it.
Capitalism in action.
Well, gentlemen, if there's any constituents that want to reach out to our elected officials, definitely encourage them to do so. I think all of our council representatives have their emails on the website. Is that right?
I believe so, okay. Yes.
Yep,
yes.
Emails and phone numbers, I believe, are all accessible.
Okay, awesome. Well, guys, we sure appreciate the time. Merry Christmas to the both of you, and we look forward to having you both on the program in the new year.
Thank you.
Happy holidays.
Thanks for all you guys do. Yeah.
Thank you. Merry Christmas, everyone.
You too. Thank you.
We'll wrap up the hour with George Lobby, editor of the North Platte Bulletin, after this on KODY.